a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Oh, the correct Jaren Hare Stadium time is 8:43 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the good folks at collegemagnolia.com. It is I, greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers, Drew Croson at SenterCrow2 on Twitter here to guide you through this week's episode. I want to say thank you for those of you who were worried about us here in North Texas at some point. It got pretty hairy. We went from a week ago today, it was -2 at one point. Today I was in shorts and a t-shirt laying out in my backyard trying to get a suntan. The climate is weird. Joining us via the magic of Skype, magic of the internet, is the AU chief, a man who likes his beer flat as can be. He likes his dog with mustard and lettuce. The AU chief. So, up the toffees, chief, right?
That's right. It's good news for the Blues, my friend.
UTFT, as they say, across the pond.
It was a great weekend. Even the Auburn men's basketball team could not bring me down from that high.
Josh, so. Let me introduce you first. Also joining us through the magic of Skype, Josh S. Hillier. The S stands for standing in for Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for sitting this one out. Josh, can you read me?
I read you loud and clear. Do I not get a theme song, though?
No. So Chief is playing a theme song for Everton Football Club.
Okay. I'm not in on the joke.
Because Everton... Yeah. Pulled off the Auburn can't win in Baton Rouge of yes. soccer and defeated its biggest rival, Liverpool Football Club, the hated Reds,
glorious.
For the first time in 11 years, 11 long years.
The first time they've won at Anfield, Everton's former ground, now Liverpool's ground, in 22 years.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It is and this is, to put the geography in perspective, these two teams currently, Everton's building a new stadium, are separated by a city park. They're in the same town.
It's not a big one either. You can walk to each stadium.
And one team has had just massive success over the last 10 years. League championships, Premier League championships.
Liverpool hasn't been that successful over the last 10 years.
Last 10 years? I would say a UCL title and a Premier League title is fairly successful, even if you just have one of each.
Okay. All right.
Everton has been consistently Everton.
Yeah, just mediocre as hell.
This the eighth best team in the Premier League forever.
Six.
Sorry. But still mid-table. So, great. I'm super happy for Chief.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. And they didn't just beat them. They beat them really bad. Just dominated the game. And got a penalty at Anfield, which nobody gets, which is insane.
It's like Alabama getting called for holding, guys.
Yeah, yeah. The only complaint is that Trent Alexander-Arnold should have been sent off for an obvious denial of goal-scoring opportunity. But hey, 2-0, up the toffees.
As a former Everton supporter who just gave up on them, I think it's now – 4 years going by abandonment of Everton and my glomming on to wherever Pep Guardiola is coaching. So Manchester City is my team. It's still really good, even for me, just as a bystander, to still see Everton beat Liverpool. So that
shows... Do you
want
to know what my takeaway is from that conversation as someone who doesn't keep up with football?
Sure.
I really wish that Gus Malzahn had done the Ted Lasso thing.
Absolutely. I think Gus would have been a perfect Ted Lasso candidate.
Well, and he was dancing in that after the last game of the season and everything.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you see Gus and Christy in like Wales coaching Cardiff? Just really confused.
Couldn't be any worse.
Chewing lots of bubble gum.
You're like, I'm living in Wales. I thought that was just for Jonah. It's a Bible joke, everybody. Bible jokes bring us back. So, Josh, let's play a quick game to introduce. Josh is going to be the newest writer. There are actually writers at collegemanual.com. I know it's been a long time since I've written anything. I know Jack is not really putting my name on this podcast anymore for some reason, which is really hurting me. It looks like I haven't put anything out on the website in a long time. But Jack, Josh is going to start writing for us. Josh is a big basketball fan. If I remember correctly, a large Atlanta Hawks homer.
Oh.
Yes.
Ryan's going to be mad Atlanta Hawks homer.
Josh was the first person to text me the night that Luka got traded from the Hawks to the Mavericks.
Oh, man. It's rough.
My stomach still hasn't stopped hurting.
I think you were the only person who really knew the gravity of what had just happened. Like, I don't think
Ryan,
anybody.
Ryan's still holding on to Trae Young being a great deal.
I know. Ryan thinks that the Hawks may have won that trade still, which is preposterous.
Unless Cam Reddish can really become an all-star, we did not win that trade.
Yeah, it's like you traded Reggie Miller for Michael Jordan, is what I think. You got Reggie Miller. You got Reggie Miller, which is great. But
yeah, he's going to score a lot of points for you.
You could have had the best player of his generation. All right. So – basketball junkie Josh Hillier.
Yes, sir.
Twice an Auburn graduate. OFA, is that correct? Originally from Auburn?
That is a fact. Yes, OFA.
Do you have that sticker on your car?
I don't. Dude, I had no idea that's what that means.
Me neither.
Is that really what that means?
That is what that means. You can go get one.
I thought it was some sort of thing to say that you had been like that you had run a marathon or something.
No, my across the street neighbor when I lived
on
in Auburn.
Foot always.
I think, yeah, my across the street neighbor when we lived in Auburn, she had an OFA sticker. And underneath it in tiny print it says originally from Auburn. Wow. Which is how I know that's what that means.
Yeah,
and now you guys will see that sticker everywhere you go and go, oh, okay, these people are just trying to rub it in our faces. They never left.
Mm-hmm. Just took a Texan to tell me.
What is your hot – we're going to play classic game, highs and lows. What is your high as a citizen of Auburn? And what is your low? What's the low moment of your life as a citizen of Auburn?
Oh, wow. Beardy's Memorial Coliseum. That's where Auburn used to play all their basketball games. And I had season tickets a whole lot of years, basically from 1998 through 2010.
What a great time to start.
Yes, exactly. What a great time to start. So those years were incredible. And I was a teenager during those years. And, you know, that team is still with Chris Porter and Doc Robinson and all those guys. That's Mamadou Njai. That still sticks with me. But so I'm going to start with my low moment.
As a citizen, because so you know that... I'm going to ask you highs and lows as a fan as well. So this is...
Okay, so yeah. Okay, you're right. So I shouldn't totally go here yet. I was thinking about the structure of Beard Eves and how that was affecting me one night. But that still does tie into being a fan. So I'll come back to that in a second. As a citizen of Auburn...
And it's not when the Magnolia Chick-fil-A closed for... however long. Is it still closed?
Right. It's indefinite.
Oh, man.
It's still closed, right?
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So I used to live at Eagles Corner Apartments, if anybody knows where that is. It's across the street from Taco Bell.
I used to live in that apartment complex. Have we talked about this?
I think we have.
Okay.
I think we have. This is striking some sort of memory in me.
Well, along with my friend Alan McNew.
Yeah, Alan McNew lived there.
That's crazy.
I lived in 104. I lived in 104.
I lived in 203.
I don't remember what room Alan was in. I didn't go there during the daylight a lot. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's only eight of them, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so my all-time low, though, was like the night before the Georgia game. I'm trying to remember what year this would have been. Maybe like 2004? I'm trying to remember when we played Georgia at home when Jason Campbell was still our quarterback.
04.
Okay, so it's probably 04. Yeah.
We played at home at 02, 04, and 06 while I was here.
So. Okay, and 04 was the year we went undefeated, right?
Yes.
And it was 05 that they dropped a couple of games. So 04, I was really sick. Like, I had, I don't know, I was in college and never went to the doctor, but surely I had some sort of flu or something like that. And, you know, just like shaking, cold, like, but you're also running a fever at the same time, but it's like November and it's cold outside. And I really just needed to go to the pharmacy to get some stuff. And everybody, like, across like all of Auburn on that street basically was just like standing in our parking lot.
Yeah.
And I just sat like in my car just trying to back up and like really politely but feverishly like just asking people if they'd move. And I was like, I'm an Auburn fan too, you know, it's cool, War Eagle, let me through. And it was awful. It was like one of the most stressful times of my life, y'all. It took me like an hour to leave that parking lot. Which is it's like a 20 car parking lot or something like that. I'm serious.
But it's only one way in, one way out.
Want to be and stuff. Right. It was not a smart time to try to drive, and I should have just walked in retrospect.
I didn't live there in 04, so what? So my car was not one of those. Thank God.
One of these people.
Now there's a CVS like, you know, right next door, over there.
I know, and all those restaurants and stuff.
Yeah.
These RIP barbecue house. Know. Right. Well, yeah.
I guess.
So that was my low point, though, which I just associate with being an Auburn citizen, even though the city of Auburn isn't really at fault for that. It was more just being a college student on a party night kind of thing. And we beat Georgia, though, so that's the important part of that story.
What was your
high? And I got better. I don't still have that flu.
That's true. That's the real high.
That I know.
What's the high point?
Yeah, it's been 17 years.
And that flu probably added to your genetic code in some amazing way. And now you're immune for something else.
Exactly. Now I don't have to get the COVID vaccine as a result of that flu in 2004.
That exact one.
Right.
If you were in the back of Skybar, what is now Skybar, between 2001 and 2006, you probably don't need the COVID vaccine.
Yep, that would have been either the Blue Room,
the Blue or Room, the Boom Boom
Copper
Room,
Copper Creek. No, yeah. Wait, not Copper Creek. That was it. Was Dewey's Downtown?
Dewey's Downtown. That's it.
Yeah. Copper Creek was what Tigress was before it was Coyotes.
What is your high point, Josh, as a citizen of Auburn?
I moved back to Auburn from Lexington, Kentucky, where I taught at University of Kentucky for a couple of years and worked at a church for a year there as well. And they won a national championship in basketball while I was there. That was the Anthony Davis year and everything. But anyway, we came back in the fall of 2013, which, as you guys might recall, was a very miraculous football season. Mm-hmm. I know this is intersecting with fanhood, but it's still a unique experience to living in Auburn. So I was at a friend's house who lived on off of Bragg Avenue at the time, which is really close to downtown mm-hmm. Auburn.
Yeah.
And so we have the kick six game. And the return goes down and everybody's just going absolutely insane. And so we just immediately like run out of his house and just like straight the Tumor's Corner. And I had never seen it quite like that. And I was so thankful to be back in Auburn after having had my time in Kentucky so that I could experience that in person with everybody.
Is that not what Lexington's like after your football game?
that's what Lexington is like when it's like the Midnight Madness basketball game. I'm serious. It's they are just so obsessed. But yeah, football, you can roll up to Kroger Field or whatever it's called. I'm pretty sure it's like Kroger Stadium or something.
Kroger Stadium.
A couple minutes before kickoff and be fine. They did have Randall Cobb when I was there.
Oh, that's a fun time.
Yeah, and Auburn came and played with Cam Newton and almost lost the game.
Yeah, that was wild. All right, Josh, high and low as a fan of Auburn.
Yeah, see, it's hard not to. I realized that I was kind of intersecting Auburn athletics into those stories.
Well,
but,
I didn't
send
you the questions beforehand.
Territory. Yeah, that's okay. I like the unfiltered responses that you get this way out of anybody. So, as a fan, the absolute high, and I actually posted something about this on our on the Slack for College and Magnolia. But anyway, it was the 94-40 Auburn drumming of Alabama in basketball, and I want to say 1998. Yes, just absolutely hilarious. I remember just like as a 14-year-old or ever how old I was then, just like telling my dad in the car over and over again, like, they could have doubled their score and still lost by double digits in that game. and so it was kind of like watching like the NBA All-Star game. Only one of the teams is like a junior varsity private school team or something.
Right.
It was really bad, the competitive disparity there. And, you know, I long for something like, probably had like four dunks that game or something crazy. And my low was, does it have to be one specific moment or just kind of like a trend that I had to live the same time of year every year for like 5 years in a row?
You could do that. I like that. I like where that can
okay.
go.
It's the Tony it Barbie was, era.
Yeah, that's how it ended. That is how it ended. was the Tony Barbie era. It was all those years of being a season ticket holder after, I don't know, I guess after 05 is when it started to get pretty ugly, maybe 06, yeah. Somewhere around there, started to get pretty hard to watch. Yeah. And the last home game of each season, realizing there's no way mathematically we're getting to 16 wins and fucking, you know, which for the uninitiated, that's what it takes to be postseason eligible.
Right.
Or at least back then, that's what it took. And walking out of that side entrance of Beardy's Memorial that has the ramps that like slope into an X shape.
Yep.
Just doing that long walk in the cold, dejected. Knowing that that another season has slipped from our fingers, and hoping that one day maybe we could have a basketball coach like the guy who coaches the University of Tennessee at Knoxville.
You know, the incredible thing was, like, I remember those years being so excited about how close to the NIT the Jeff Lebo teams could get. And then he finally, he got over the hump and got to the NIT, and it was like this huge deal. And none of my friends thought it was a huge deal, and I was trying to like implore them that it was like this massive deal that Auburn basketball made it to the NIT.
Right.
And then it was 40 more years in the wilderness.
If I remember correctly, though, that year they actually won over 20 games and really probably should have gotten it.
They were a bubble team in the tournament.
Bubble team and got knocked out by in favor of Stanford, right?
Wasn't right.
That what happened there?
Who had future Atlanta Hawk Josh Childress on the team.
Yes, that was quite the storied run.
Yeah. Atlanta Hawk great. The Afro man Josh Childress.
European legend. European pro basketball legend.
Yeah, he did. He played over there forever. Not to the levels of Quantes Robertson, who's been playing over there since since graduating from Auburn. He has been playing in Frankfurt since 2009.
That's not a bad deal, though, really.
We have inside information that he splits his time from Frankfurt and Huntsville. So
that's fascinating.
One is a financial capital of Central Europe, and the other is the Rocket City, USA. Nothing wrong with that.
Possible financial capital of Alabama.
Sure. If you see this smoke,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys can see
it. Yeah, what's going on in your house, bro?
It's like I'm in a Snoop Dogg video. I have a humidifier like directly next to me. We had to run our heater so much. Whenever I was at my brother's house, I just dried out. Yeah. It's horrible.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's the worst. Winter stinks.
Can I say one more thing about Jeff Lebo?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm a big Jeff Lebo fan.
Podcast for. Well, okay, good. That's what I was going to say is now that I'm reliving this and putting myself back in my early 20s body and thinking about this, I he really did get a raw deal, especially when we consider who came in to replace him.
He showed up under NCAA sanctions, had a open tryout of students to make the team.
I'm still kicking myself because I could have just gone and made that team because it was bad. I wouldn't have played. I'm not saying I would have gone and played. But I mean, there was like nobody on the bench.
But they had like seven or eight scholarship athletes. Like it was something nuts.
It was ugly. It was not good. Nate Watson was the best player on the team because Marco Killingsworth had left
for Indiana,
and Tony Douglas had also dipped out. So
it was Lebo's first year was a real drag, and like then to build that thing up because he wasn't a great recruiter, and he was ahead of the game from saying. What did he say? He said, we're going to lead. We're going to break every record in three-point attempts in school history.
Yeah.
I'm not going to promise we're going to break the record for makes.
Yeah.
Which is the honesty.
I still think it was a bad hire. Because there were better options out there. And I still don't know why we hired Jeff Lebo.
Well, because from an X's and O's perspective, he's really a good basketball coach.
We could have hired Mike Anderson though,
right?
And like, didn't even really try to pursue him, and it was really annoying. It was a guy that had success in the state of Alabama, had been to the tournament, and we just didn't pursue him. And I really never gave Lebo a fair shake because I didn't think he deserved the job.
I was that way about Barbie when he was hired. I thought we should have hired Quinn Snyder.
Well, I thought we should have hired Mike Anderson then too. Barbie at least made the tournament with UTEP or whatever. So I was like, this is
a great promise.
But look at what Quinn Snyder is doing now. He's cruising with the Jazz.
Was he really a candidate, or are you just saying that?
No, he was at Mizzou, and then. Yada yada yada. He got fired from Mizzou.
yeah, right.
And then I think at that point he was coaching in the inaugural years of the G League, and he coached for like the Spurs G League team for like a number of years, I believe.
One of those cycles, Bob Huggins was like a big rumor. And it was after there was some stuff at Cincinnati, right?
Sure.
I think he may have had a show cause like kind of like Bruce when West Virginia hired him. I don't want to casually libel Bob Huggy Bear, but
fashion icon Bob Huggins.
Yeah. Mm. But I doubt he was ever on the radar because I don't know why he would have wanted to come to Auburn, especially in the state we were in, and either one of those hires. But one of those hires, there were a lot of Bob Huggins smoke around the old Auburn internet.
Well, there was rumors that there was going to be a big splash hire when Barbie was hired because of the new arena. It's like, okay, Auburn in the new arena, they're going to go after somebody big.
Shout out to Jeff Lebo because he did. He really
– That was his baby.
He spearheaded that. Yeah,
that arena was his baby.
We were supposed to open up with UNC in there.
Yeah. All right, Josh, last question. As an Auburn alum twice and Auburn resident. High and low chicken finger restaurant in Auburn, Alabama.
Great question. Guthrie's, all-time high.
Oh, wow.
Just tried and true. I still miss the location on Opelika Road, at the very end of Opelika Road that's now just completely leveled.
Yeah.
I have a lot of fond memories of that one from the late 90s and early aughts. And there's one fairly close to my house where I live now that I still get through the drive through sometimes. My kids love it, which is kind of a fun passing on of the baton, passing on of the chicken finger.
Of the tender,
With no slaw. Yeah, extra fries. So that's definitely the high. And I feel so bad saying this one, but I gotta. So the low is Louis.
Whoa, man.
That is hot takes.
That is a big hot take.
I know. Maybe I should use a nickname on this episode after all. You know, still having to show my face around town.
But in my the Louis that was close to the Publix by where I used to live.
It's no longer a Louis now, by the way. Yeah, it's the same. So it's the only one that Chizik didn't own.
Okay.
And they, I guess, didn't want to pay the license, the franchise fee. So now it's Charlie's Kitchen.
Let me tell you, that's the best catfish in Auburn.
Yeah, they had some other good stuff. I used to get catfish there too. Yeah, it was good.
Good catfish. And I didn't know that wasn't a Chiz joint, but that was.
Yep, it was not. And it's now Charlie's Kitchen. They have the same menu as far as I know.
Sure.
I haven't been back in there though. I did go to Tentachick last week.
Oh, that's always good. Mm.
There's not a lot of terrible chicken fingers. Who was it? Nathan King on Twitter with the hottest take of all.
Oh, yeah.
That the best chicken fingers in Auburn are at Insomnia. Which I've never gotten.
That is
them.
An underrated take.
Because I love Insomnia.
Well, if it's like every other Mediterranean restaurant in America that I've ever been to, yeah, they probably have pretty good chicken fingers. Al's in Birmingham has good chicken fingers.
The Insomnia hummus is so good that we would go get it as a side, like, even if we weren't eating an Insomnia. That would be the hummus we went and bought for the week. It's delicious. And open until 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
This show is not sponsored by Insomnia, but if you'd like to be, if we would like to be sponsored by Insomnia.
Guthrie's was my go-to chicken finger in college. That's where I went a lot until I moved down Analu, and I was really close to Tentachick, and that's when I started going to Tentachick all the time.
This is the most Auburn street names we've ever name checked in an episode, and it's great. I think people who listen to this who don't live in Auburn or haven't been back since college are like, oh, yeah, I think I know where that is. And they're trying to like
– yeah.
Which I had a terrible New Era fitted in college that was navy blue and had like the in white street map of Auburn, Alabama on the front of it.
Huh.
I used to buy
– my guy Ronaldo's his go-to cap is that exact cap.
I used to buy really bad New Era fitted hats at the bookstore.
Did you get – yeah, the bookstore. That's what I'm going
to
ask you.
I also used to wear a belt that had a spinning rim as the belt buckle. And I would wear that unironically sometimes.
Nice.
Did people ever ask you about it? Were they like, hey,
no, they were like,
bro, can you spin that for me?
Look at this weirdo. So they were they're saying – his blue hat and his white belt.
One of the first gifts my wife ever got me was a leather belt that had Chief like on it.
Sweet.
Eagles.
That's awesome.
And never got a good belt buckle for it, though. So I just wore it as a regular old belt.
You should go to Etsy.com.
Well, I'm sure I could. I don't wear that belt much anymore.
So let's do a quick recap of the basketball week. Pretty lousy. We had one game postponed or canceled due to the weather.
Yep.
Due to the snowpocalypse.
The most winnable of the games was canceled.
And then we went out and laid an absolute egg against LSU. A game that, like, on paper, it was Auburn plus five.
I didn't know we were favored.
No. Sorry, Auburn minus five. We were five-point dogs.
Yeah. Okay, so Auburn plus five.
We were five-point underdogs. We should have won that game. Or could have. And then from the jump, it was like, we can't win this game.
Wait a second. We looked good for the first 5 minutes of the game. Like, we were up, we were looking good, we were playing well, and then I don't know what happened. It was we just stopped hitting shots. They started hitting everything they put up, and then we couldn't do anything to stop them. We couldn't play defense.
They had four players in double figures, and Auburn had, I believe, one. I think Sharif and with 22 points was the only one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, I don't know. Flanagan might have had double digits, actually.
Yeah. I think on this on this podcast, I think I've probably said it before, but my like big basketball opinion is your first best player isn't as important as your third best player, because if your third best player is better by leaps and bounds than the other team's third best player, you're going to win. And Auburn's Auburn didn't have a third. Like this team looked completely dependent on one guy against LSU. Like it had no third option. Mm-hmm. It was Sharif's going to drive and get a layup. Hopefully, maybe he gets fouled too, and that's it. We got nothing else.
Mm-hmm. The scary thing about that is if he scores, what was it, 22 or 26? I mean, a lot of points nonetheless, over 20.
I think he made it 20. I think you're right.
He scores that many and you still lose by over 20. There's just a lack of – that just speaks to defensive problems, right? It's not that we're not putting up points at that point.
They couldn't stop.
It's more of the
– I mean, Cameron Thomas, another freshman – had 27.
He went insane.
He's a really good scorer. He's the reigning SEC Freshman of the Week. Like, he's a good scorer, and Auburn had nothing for him except, okay, like I said, your third best player, in my opinion, is your most important guy. So he had 27. Okay, our best player had 26. So that canceled each other out. The problem was Watford for LSU had 18. Our next leading scorer was Flanagan at 13. Their third best player had 17. Days had 17. Our third leading scorer had 10. It was Thor.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like a bunch of dudes with 2 points and 4 points.
Well, Thor scored most of those points in the last like five minutes of the game.
Thor was basically invisible in the first half. Yeah. A lot of the first half.
Well, with Watford and teams have figured out that we cannot defend anybody inside. So if you've got a guy that's remotely good in the post, then we're screwed.
Yeah.
like, we can't stop him.
Watford went for 18 and 11.
Ugh.
And then they had another guy go for 12 and 10 on the bench. So they had two double-doubles.
Oh, no! Off the bench with a double-double?
They had a double-double off the bench.
Oh.
And, like, that's just... Auburn didn't have a guy. Auburn's leading rebounder was Franklin, was 7.
Oh, yeah. He got a ton of minutes, man.
Here's how bad it was, is that Sharif Cooper had 2 assists. And that's not because he wasn't passing the ball.
Yeah.
It's just guys weren't making shots.
Shooting percentage issue. Yeah.
You don't go from averaging 9 assists. Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't go from averaging 9 assists to getting 2 unless your team shoots – some 25% from 3 like we did and 37% from the field as a team going against LSU who shot 54% from the field and 50% from 3.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
And it's really rough.
And offense was supposed to be or is the part of the game that we actually can do.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have anybody could do it.
It looked like they were going to score 150 points on us there at one point. So I guess that's the
there was a stretch. The win here. You spoke about NBA All-Star games. There was a stretch there in the early first half where I was like, oh, this is fun. It's like watching an All-Star game. It's just our guy goes down and scores a layup. Their guy goes down and scores a layup. Three-pointer over here, three-pointer over there. And then
all of a sudden they were up 15 and we were never
they kept doing it and we quit.
Yeah, I think – I mean, a lot of it's mental. Like, when we get down like that, it was obvious in that game. We just never really thought. They just didn't look like they thought that they could get back into it. So it.
Right.
And I want to know, like, I think, Josh, you mentioned this off the pod earlier. Like, I wonder to what extent does this ghost season play into like that, to motivation. Like the fact that they know, even if they won out, it doesn't matter.
I think that
It has to. And I know that it's really easy to say, well, you should just have competitive fire and, you know, give it 150% and all those things that people say. But it's a disappointing thing. It's one thing to know about it like 2 weeks before the season starts or whatever when we announced it, when you're not really sure because of COVID if there's going to be an NCAA tournament or not. And it's another thing for it to almost be March and you see, this really isn't happening for us and everybody else is. And we didn't get to be in the tournament last year. It's this big hangover.
I'm going to put it – I hate doing this, but I'm going to make an Auburn football analogy. we were all really mad when it would take to like week eight for the offensive line to gel under Gus a lot of times. We're kind of at that point of the season now where it's like, okay, we're making young mistakes, but at some point we should be making different ones. And we're making the same young mistakes
that we were making
in December.
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of we had no preseason at all to begin with. The team hasn't been the same for like a quarter of the season, like any quarter of the season throughout the season. Like
lineup has changed. Starting lineup. Bruce's tinkered with starting lineup and had to.
Yeah. We don't have our one like seemingly reliable shooter. We didn't have a point guard for a while, and now we do. And it's all freshmen and sophomores. There's no leadership, and we have nothing to play for. And I think being young, and like Josh said, you know, you can say, well, you got nothing but pride to play for. Like maybe you should, you know, personal pride. You should not want to get beat like we got beat Saturday, but on the other hand, it's young guys with nothing to do. And Bruce may just be letting Sharif showcase his skills, and
sure,
that's really all that's going on.
That's an interesting take.
I agree with that because it helps Bruce out at this point more to get another lottery pick.
Yeah, he's a top 10 pick, and you know, we're not getting anything out of this season, so that's the one thing he can get out of this season.
And I'll say this, like, the one guy – there's a couple of guys who have kind of figured it out this year playing with Sharif, and one of them is Cambridge. I think there's a couple of guys who realize, like, if I just get open
– he'll give me the ball.
This dude's going to find me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get to be on the highlight reel. Yeah. There's a couple of guys who that switch hasn't flipped yet, and I can't figure – that's the one I can't figure. I'm like, okay, you guys, if you just move without the ball – this dude is going to find you, and you're going to get a highlight reel dunk, or you're going to get a wide open shot. Cambridge understands that. I think – I don't know why that is, but Cambridge seems to be like the most – the difference in pre-Sharif Cambridge and post-Sharif Cambridge is night and day.
Well, I think there's some evidence that the guys that have played with Sharif before have done a little better. Cardwell, he had a pretty rough game, and he's had some rough games, but – he's looked better than he did before Sharif played.
Yeah.
And Sharif gets him the ball as much as he possibly can when they're in together. You can tell that they have a connection, and the same applies to Devin as well.
And Stretch. Yeah. There was a weird period in this LSU game where like three straight trips on the court, they ran like Stretch posting up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out. I was like, all right, we're doing this now. Great. Let's give it a shot.
We kept trying. I guess the scout had it that we could get points in the paint because we kept trying to get it to Cardwell, and we kept trying to get it to Stretch. And it's like, okay, guys, this is not working. Why are we keep trying to do this over and over again?
Yeah. I mean, so. Auburn has been a consistent paint scoring team this year.
Sure.
And can get to the paint because of Sharif whenever it wants. Like,
but it hasn't been a lot of post-up stuff.
No, though. That's not how it's been happening. It hasn't been the Austin Wiley catch the ball at the block, turn around, shoot a hook shot.
It's been lobs. It's been the, you know, put back dunks, stuff like that. But not a lot of posting up.
No. I still like Sharif on last year's team wins the SEC regular season title. Because you give him Okoro. Like even if you switched Okoro and Sharif, I think that team wins the SEC regular season title. Only because you give Sharif McLemore and Wiley to throw oops to, who actually play defense on the other end of the court.
Maybe we outscore everybody, but without Okoro's defense last year, we were atrocious on D.
Like, we aren't really like great at it this year.
I know. Right? Trust me, I know. So yeah, maybe we outscore a bunch of people, but I don't know if we win the.
I would like to talk to Bruce, I'd really like to get Steven on the phone, because I think Steven Pearl is the one who really, like, from an X's and O's perspective, he seems to be the one who's has a really good mind for that right now. But I'd like to get Steven Pearl or Bruce Pearl to explain. He mentioned, like, some rule changes as to the reason why they don't full court press the whole more. Game. Because when he was in Tennessee, he pressed 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But he doesn't anymore. And he mentioned something of like, oh, yeah, you can't really do it. Like with the rule, there's been some rule changes and it makes it to where it's almost impossible. And I wonder if it's because, I don't even know if it's the rule change as much as it is the way the game is refereed now, where you can't touch anyone 45 feet from the basket.
They're just afraid that they're going to get, like, guys are get in even worse foul trouble if we were to press the whole game.
This game, Justin Ferguson said it best. I think it was he texted me, but it was like, this is the only sport where every single game, the officiating is part of the narrative. And I don't know, like, the NBA does not do that. I know, Josh, you watch a ton of NBA. Like, you don't know the NBA referees' names unless it's a guy who's been refereeing for 50 years or it's a guy who's known to make terrible calls. But college basketball has, like, 7 or 8 guys that everyone seems to know their names because they're all terrible refs.
Yeah.
As a big NBA fan living in Auburn, I've learned that most of the time people don't want me to bring up the NBA.
Sure.
That doesn't go over great. But I feel like it is invited here. And I watch a lot more NBA than I watch college basketball. I pretty much just, I watch basically every NBA game I can. And I watch every Auburn basketball game and most of the other SEC games at least. And then occasionally some other one.
That's if there's more like than a
top 10 matchup or something.
I just watch Auburn and then some NBA games.
Yeah, well, and I really don't blame you. And it's, I think that people who say that the officiating isn't that bad in college basketball just aren't watching pro basketball at all, because the disparity is just so great.
I think they might be blind.
Yeah. the games take forever.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
Like, okay, right. I put it this way. Right. The NBA plays literally 8 minutes more of basketball a night because their games are 48 minutes to college's 40 minutes. Yet, an NBA game lasts about the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's just down to officiating.
Right.
It's just it's such a weird thing. Like, they're predictable in that in so many ways. There's guys that you know will call things super loose, and then all of a sudden you know that they're going to be super tight and calling every foul. You also know if it doesn't matter which team, usually, if one team is up to like 7 team fouls and the other team's at 1, you know that after the next time out, that the team with only 1 is going to get about 5 fouls in the next 4 minutes of real time.
Catch it up.
So great, like, leveling.
2 minutes of game time. And it's just so there's no accountability. We've ranted on this on
could you imagine? No, Josh, there are games in the NBA where teams will go not into like the bonus,
right?
Like, it'll happen the whole game.
And I think the counter argument is when people only watch like the last 5 minutes of the game and there's, you know, a fair amount of intentional fouling to get to the free throw line. But that's just basketball at all levels.
Yeah.
Well, no, because the international level, they had some fixing of that.
Okay.
One of the ways they fixed it was they only get you only get 1 timeout per quarter and then a second timeout in the last 2 minutes. So you basically only get an extra timeout. So you can't just like take 100 timeouts there at the end of the game.
I like that.
It's great.
Interesting.
Yeah. You don't need 50 timeouts in the fourth quarter.
Basketball.
Yeah, well, part of the reason – well, no, you don't, because it's so stupid that college persists with this half thing when you get – when you're really playing eighths, like – because of the way they have the TV timeout structure.
100%.
Yeah.
TV
timeouts. Every 4 minutes, yeah.
That's a good thought. I hadn't thought about that. You really are playing eights because of the incredibly long TV timeouts.
It's so stupid. And then the teams still get timeouts on top of those. And I don't know.
It's a very odd – the NCAA, college sports in general and college basketball in particular, is extremely slow to adapt, even from an American sports standpoint. An American sports standpoint, usually American sports other than the NFL – because the NFL and the NBA seem to be the fastest to, well, let's try this. The NBA is the fastest. Yeah. Let's do this for 3 weeks. They changed the entire ball 1 year, and then mid-season said, that wasn't working, new ball. But, like, college basketball, it took them forever to move the three-point line back.
Yeah.
Years, and it still isn't as far back as the NBA's. They haven't changed the shot clock in 100 years. They need to. It's bizarre why they persist.
It's 30 now, right?
It's 30. It used to be 35.
Yeah, it was 35. Not that long ago.
Actually. No. Yeah. When we were in college.
When we were in school. Yeah.
35. 35 seconds is a lifetime.
I do wonder. I think I have a hunch that doing the 20 minute halves is just to differentiate the game. That's it. That's the only thing that the only reason they persist with that is so that they're like, oh, yeah, this is our game. It's a little different.
That's
here.
Exactly it. But, like, think about that from the standpoint of you're in high school and you play the game a certain way.
It's not just high school, it's rec league.
Right.
All the way through high school.
Right. Then you go to college, it's this bizarro world. And then you go to the NBA, and you're back to quarters. But women's basketball is quarters, right?
Yeah.
It
is. And it's a shorter shot clock. Oh, no, it was – women's basketball was a 30-second shot clock before men's was.
Yes. And they went to quarters what? Oh, well, it's probably been 10 years ago now. I've lost – time has no meaning to me anymore. But once you have kids, there's no time. Time doesn't exist.
No.
No, it's very bizarre. It's my – I love Auburn basketball, but college basketball is probably one of my least favorite sports in the world.
I still love college basketball. I mostly love the tournament, just because anything, quote unquote, anything can happen. Usually, it's not anything can happen, but there's just fun narratives. And with all sport, it's all about the narratives, and I still like college basketball. And I like the tournament, but it can be unwatchable.
It's a beating. Like, the tournament is the thing. College basketball invented this tournament that has made it so much money because it is so unique and so incredible. But at the same time, like, the product, when you don't have fans in the stands especially, is so bad that, like, We're just – I think the NCAA knows we're just biding our time until the tournament starts again this year in terms of a watchable product week in, week out. All right, so let's take a quick break, come back, talk a little bit of seam ball. All right.
Were you guys having some connection issues there, or was that just me?
I think it was just you.
Yeah, I think it was just you.
Okay.
Jack, you should leave that in. and we are back. At 48 minutes and 30 seconds elapsed. So Auburn baseball started this week. I wasn't on the pod last week to preview with Drew McCracken because I was under a foot of snow.
Oh, we didn't even cover this. Yeah, you survived. You survived the great freeze of the century.
The coldest. It's the coldest I've ever been in the United States.
What were the news, the weathermen there calling this big freeze? I guess you didn't know.
I didn't have power. It was tropical storm, like something weird, like Uva. Or not, really? Like winter storm Uva winter. Or something weird like that.
They named it.
The Nolan Ryan.
The Nolan Ryan. The Ryan Express of winter storms.
Remember when he beat somebody up when he was like 50?
Rob, he beat up Robin Ventura.
That's right.
did. That's right. Bo Jackson was involved in trying to break it up.
I wonder what Jeff Lebo was doing that night.
The age-old question. What is Jeff Lebo up to right now?
Where was Jeff Lebo?
He was probably...
It was mid-90s. He's probably North Carolina as an assistant coach.
Yeah, he was probably an assistant for Dean Smith or Larry Brown somewhere.
Auburn baseball had a three-game series against the Presbyterian Blue Hose. And
it's a edgy name for Presbyterians.
Blue Hose, I know. And it was a beautiful tulip of a three-game series for the Auburn Tigers. It's a theology joke for those people listening at home. And Auburn got a 14-3 win to open the season.
Crushed
6-1 and 2-1. I don't think Presbyterian is going to make the College World Series, but it was pretty good to see Auburn put up a ton of runs.
Yeah, well, they won the last one with a walk off,
right?
Which was pretty cool. But that first game was a delight. I listened to some of it. I didn't actually get to watch it. I wished I'd watched the second game rather than the Auburn basketball game that I watched.
Right.
Yeah, they True. off to a hot start. Went basically how Drew McCracken predicted it would, and we're on to Alabama A&M and Oklahoma this weekend.
Yeah, because I think we're going over here to my neck of the woods to play a little tournament against
Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas A&M.
Against some of the Texas schools.
Interesting playing Texas A&M in a non-con game.
Yeah. I think that replaces our random non-con game versus Alabama, right?
Probably. I would assume, because the Capital City Classic is no longer a thing.
R.I.P. Capital City Classic.
Is that what it was called? I don't remember. Anyway.
Who knows? I went to zero of those games.
I attempted to go to one, and it got rained out.
I know the Biscuit Stadium is awesome and has biscuits. Because I went to two Biscuits games when I was living in Auburn. I believe these games are all on – no. The next two games, Alabama A&M, I don't believe those are on television whatsoever. But you can hear them on the Auburn Tigers radio network.
That's right.
And you can watch the Oklahoma game in the Round Rock Classic there in Round Rock, Texas, home of Round Rock Donuts, which, guys, if you are ever in Round Rock, Texas for whatever reason, you've got to get Round Rock Donuts.
Where is Round Rock again?
It is just north of – it's a northern suburb of Austin.
Oh. Should get my Austin buddy to go.
You should.
He hates sports.
It is south of Waco. I mean, it's like – it's the outskirts of Austin. Round Rock Donuts is a donut shop that's so good that when it burned down, the city – the legend goes, the city raised money to buy like a trailer to park in the parking lot. So the guy could keep making donuts before they wouldn't let it close. Like, no, buddy. We need the donuts every day.
Wow.
So
it's like, I just want a break.
It's on Flow Baseball, which is a thing. Is a network that exists.
Okay. Is that an online network?
Yeah. And let me tell you about Flow. As a professional cycling fan, Flow Cycling is insanely expensive. And they only get like one of every three races. But they get those three races. It's the only place to watch them. So if you want to watch these races, you got to pay like $70 a year or some nonsense.
It's
no sport has tried its hardest to make it more difficult to find itself than professional cycling. It is so difficult to find races. All right. But I think Auburn is going to have a really good time with the Round Rock Classic because Baylor's going to be pretty good this year, I think. I don't really know how Oklahoma is. I don't know. It's probably going to be good weather, though. So if you are in the great state of Texas.
They used to have a coach that we stole off of them, but it turns out that they really the things that we thought were sour grapes were actually them being happy that they had gotten rid of that coach. So that's cool.
Yep. If you are in the great state of Texas and have power and water and the coronavirus vaccine, you should probably go to Round Rock, Texas and watch these games in person and support your Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, get after it.
We should have McCracken on once a month at least.
That's what I was thinking.
Recap this.
This is no slight on Nerd, who is also an excellent guest, or Dr. McLaughlin, also a fun guest, great guest. Drew McCracken is my favorite guest.
Or present because, company, Josh Hillier, our first-time guest.
He's a first-timer. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, well, and I dissed a very popular local restaurant, and I've talked about Lebo 3 times now, so I get it.
No.
Talking about Louie's over here.
It rapidly makes you one of my favorite guests. You brought up Jeff Lebo 3 times. If you could bring up Quan Prowl at some point in this podcast, we'd be
What about the 12 finger man, Frank Tolbert?
Frankie 12 fingers.
That's right.
I saw him and Nate Watson playing a pro-am game in Lochipoca a few years back.
How'd he look?
Wait, there pro-am. Was a pro-am game?
There was a semi-pro basketball game. They were playing in a semi-pro team.
Amazing.
Okay.
It was interesting. It's probably 2014, maybe. I don't know. It was a while ago.
I went to a game at Lochipoca one time that the referee called the game due to a fight at – it was a JV game. Due to a fight with like 10 seconds left in the game, and he calls the game because parents were yelling at their kids to get into the fight. So that's it.
Okay.
We're out here.
Fun times.
All right, so we've done baseball. We talked a little bit of football.
Baseball's on track, and they're going to go undefeated according to the current win results.
On pace is to average like 10 runs a game, which is kind of nice.
Wild.
Let's talk football.
And a walk off a weekend.
We're going to talk football because Auburn is still decidedly a football town. Auburn picked up 2 pretty big commits that were not on the Auburn Tigers, but were in fact on a different Division 1A team this time last week.
I need to know when they can sign. Like, why is it just a commit? Because shouldn't they be able to just go ahead and sign with us right now?
Man, I don't know the ins and outs of recruiting rules.
Yes, I guess we need to have Nerd on about once a month, too.
Yeah, who knows? Who cares? All I know is that at this moment, it appears that the best transfer portal corner available is going to be at Auburn. And then our best recruit from high school just committed, and he was at Tennessee last week.
Yeah, yeah.
And we jumped up 7 spots from that one commitment.
I mean,
we're got a really respectable class now.
Yeah, number 20 now.
Number 20, which is not where you want Brian Harsin to be, but considering he came in to salvage a pretty lousy class and tried to keep people on board, not bad. And a lot of those guys are offensive linemen, which is always good to have on the roster.
Look, I'm not freaking out about this recruiting class. The next one needs to be better than we've had lately. So, things are going well in football, I guess. Question mark. Spring practice is soon. They released a trailer for spring practice, basically. Which, all right.
Well, that's because the post-credit scene at the end of the bowl game was so good that everybody was super excited about this new trailer.
Oh, man.
That's right. Yeah, it was Brian Harsin trying to lift Thor's hammer, if I remember. Yeah. He Thor's hammer.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh,
man.
I found out yesterday that I should have been watching the post-credits on WandaVision every week.
The only time you needed to watch the credits.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better because I haven't gone back and watched it. There's only one show that I go back and watch stuff, and it's Ted Lasso. I rewatched 3 episodes today, actually, as a matter of fact.
What a delight.
Filming the new season right
now? We are on 4 runs through Ted Lasso at this house. They are releasing season 2 this summer.
Oh, okay.
And season 3 has already been guaranteed.
Greenlit, yeah.
So it sounds like his speech at the end of the last episode, spoiler alert for Ted Lasso, where he says they need to win. Where he says they need to win the championship and then go back to the Premier League and win the whole thing.
Mm.
That's my prediction for what happens as the story arc.
Mm.
And then I think he retires at the end of season 3, the Leicester City of.
And he becomes the Central Florida head coach.
And then he goes and becomes the Central Florida. You know what? I just really want to move to Orlando and be the UCF head coach.
I don't know. I think the parallels are there.
There's a lot. I think the most parallel is a guy who just really loves to be a coach and loves to work.
Yeah, legitimately, I find both of them to just be really endearing people.
I find Gus more confusing because if I were Gus Malzahn, the boat that I would have purchased would have allowed me to never see any of these people ever again, and I would have never, ever coached another down of football until Jesus calls me home. That would have been it.
I get it.
I may have moved the entire family to Hawaii.
Yeah, why not?
Or bought my own island in the Caribbean.
I think I would have moved to Hawaii and taken off-the-field analyst job at the University of Hawaii.
Yes, there you go.
Just for, like, base pay.
Yeah.
And that would just pay my mortgage.
So you can afford groceries in Hawaii. Since,
you know how much groceries you can afford in Hawaii at $21 million?
Well, look, I keep trying to remind everybody he's only going to have about half of that because half of it is going to be taxed.
But that's just of the buyout. He wasn't like he was working for free up until then.
It's true. It's true. And it's not like – I don't know that you could spend $4 million in a year if you tried living in Auburn.
That's what I was going to say. And like living at Moore's Mill, he's not breaking the bank or wherever he was living.
I think I don't know – I don't think the locker room does 4 million in volume every year, so I don't think you're spending clothes. And
there's only so many times you can go to Aricia for happy hour.
Yeah.
Or you can just drive on down Dean or Glenn and go to Acre. I'm trying to use another Auburn street name as much as I can.
Shelton Mill.
The real guys
for no reason just go down Shelton Mill.
Real heads are at Glenn Neen sitting at Chappie's drinking terrible coffee and eating breakfast every single day.
Oh, David House. I wonder when we're going to get the photo up, photo op of Brian Harsin in Chappie's.
I can't wait. Just pointing to David Housel.
Pointing to David Housel. Yes.
This there guy.
Think we get Harsin on the pod? You think? What do you?
I want to get David Howell on the pod.
Brian Harsin has ever listened to a podcast in his life?
No, but you know, now it's my greatest regret that I didn't just sit down at the table at Chappie's with David Howell and record a podcast with him.
Yeah,
he would.
He would have.
We have the same. At least like a 25% chance he would.
We're fraternity brothers.
You could. You could say hi to him. I didn't know he was a Fiji.
Oh yeah.
You can say hi to him in a parking lot, and it'll be a 5-minute conversation.
You can walk up to him and ask for a dirty joke, and you will get one every single time, and they are always hilarious.
Is it always a different one?
It was in my experience. I used to, when I worked for the ethics department, he would come in and I'd go, "You got a dirty joke today, Mr. Housel?" And he would, boom, pop off.
Man.
He also would say every single day, "What are you doing today to beat Alabama?" And he'd wait for you to answer, and if you were wearing red, he'd be like, "That ain't it.
Yeah.
That's not gonna beat him."
Oh, Mr. Housel.
So every day I wake up and I think, "What am I doing today to beat Alabama?" Not enough, apparently.
From Texas.
Well, I got us a couple good recruits, I guess. All right. Well, Josh, excellent having you on. Let's do this more frequently.
I had a really good time. I can't confirm that anyone else did, but I had a really good time. I'm happy to talk about weird parking lot memories anytime.
Josh, I'm going to go ahead and ask you on the air to help me with my 2012 podcast that I've been trying to record and make now for 3 years.
Okay.
I have a name. It's called How Bad Can It Get? The 2012 Auburn Tigers.
Hmm.
Okay, let's do it.
Fantastic. All right.
Do you still have interviews recorded, saved?
I think I do. It depends on which hard drive is dead. Because one of my hard drives is completely kaput, and the other one I think is good. So hopefully I recorded it on the one that's good.
Need to get them suckers in the cloud.
I know. I should have.
All right.
War Eagle.
See you guys next week.
War Eagle.
Hope you have a War Eagle weekend.